Welcha, welcha, Catania, Gianti, all the bit, Lumsa, Brendan O'Davney, and Shotty Highland Radio. Welcome, everyone, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Thanks very much to young Ryan Brawley there for the news, the legend Ivan Borland, and I'm joined here as ever by the man who takes enough risks when he spins those discs. It is DJ Joe Dix. He's producing this evening. He's available for hire there. Might just cost you 10 grand, but good man, Joe. He added that bit on himself, actually. No, Joe Dix is here looking after me, thankfully, as ever, folks. On this evening's show, another packed show in store. Shortly, we're going to hear from Big Brian after the Masters. Brian McLaughlin, that is, the great St. Michael's Brian McLaughlin, after his Masters team made it to the All-Ireland final again, beating the men from Kerry. We're going to get a quick word with Brian just on that and the build-up to Dublin. Then myself and Oney McGarvey, the man from the radio and the Gaeltacht, does the commentary with them, and he also is a coach with Niamh Wirra. He is coming on the show to round up all the weekend's club action. And then we're going to hear a bit from the men in the middle, two of our top refs, Enda McFeeney and Mark Dorian, are coming on the show. Always great to get the perspectives of the refs. I get my words right here. I was sunning myself down in Rathmullen earlier. I think I'm still half on the beach. A man who looks well on any beach, he's the David Hasselhoff of St. Michael's, is Brian McLaughlin. Brian, how are you, lad?
Good evening, Brandon. How are you?
Good, sir. Good, sir. What's the crack? Brian, you're back in another final again. Mighty stuff. I swapped a couple of text with your Bannister today, Eddie Crawford. He was a happy man. So just giving you a shout, Brian. It was a tight, low-scoring affair against the Kerry men. But listen, semi-finals is about getting across the line.
That's it, Brendan. I was just delighted to get the one now. You know, we knew Kerry was going to be a tough assignment. So we kind of prepped well for it, you know. So this last five weeks since the last game against Monaghan. It was a very, very, you know, cagey game to start with. You know, the first 10 minutes were kind of under a bit of pressure, you know, because Kerry kind of got a couple of scores in us, you know. But after that, we kind of controlled the game in a large part, you know. And, you know, in the second half, whenever the game was in the melting pot, you know, with players that stood up, you know, and got us over the line, you know, we got Benny Baker Boyle, you know, got a great goal, you know, when we were 7-4 down, you know, with maybe 8 or 9 minutes to go, and you know, Damien Brown kicked a great point, you know, so it just kind of gave us that bit of breathing space then near the end to get the one.
Yeah, listen, Brian, fabulous stuff. Of course, the spectre of the Tyrone men are leaning large in that competition, having won the 5 in a row. Kind of your nemesis, Brian, but you'd beaten them earlier in the championship, so they aren't in the play anymore. It's going to come down to the Dubs in the final.
Dublin in the final, yeah. Tyrone have beaten Dublin, you know, maybe in the last two semi-finals, you know. So I think they lost the final year before that. So they'll be no more than ourselves, you know. We'll be hungry to go out and put on a performance and try and win it. Obviously, we lost the final last year against Tyrone, you know. So Dublin will be coming with a big force as well on the 12th of September, you know. So it's going to be should be a good game now, you know. So it'll be two hungry teams looking to win it.
Yeah, Brian, and I know as time goes on a bit, the muscles get sore. Eddie Crawford, obviously, does he have to double job by trying to loosen out them hamstrings in you as well?
Oh, listen. I think there's a lot of boys on the same boat. It's just trying to manage the training's been really good. Like, you know, it's you know, boys have had injuries and stuff there, so there's always a bit of rehab for different fellas. You know, Eddie's having and Archie and the management team have been looking after as well. You know, so it's trying to manage the bodies, and everybody's kind of different. You know, you've younger boys there that are flying and training every night. So other lads, both like myself and a few like other boys there, you know, that we're able to kind of manage the bodies as we go along, you know, just trying to be fit for the games, you know. So like we've a big squad there, you know, with up to maybe 40 players there, you know. So it's just so listen, no, in fairness to the management team, like, for the whole year, like, so, you know, we got beat last year in the final, as I was saying. So it's just been, you know, we've been going since kind of end of January, February. So it's just, it's all gone in now for the next 3 weeks to the final.
3 weeks to the final. Listen, Brian, we just want to wish you all the best. Hey, all this Donegal crew's been rooting with for you. It was great to meet all you guys in Philly earlier in the year. And you most of us anyway, but great bunch of lads, Brian. And you keep strutting your stuff up and down the beaches there at Dunfanaghy.
Good man. Hi, I'm just going to head down here now, Brendan. Good man.
As McNiff would say, get into the tide, my man. That'll cure all ills.
all the aches and pain.
Top man, Brian. Wish you all the best. Listen, we'll get talking to you after that final anyway, dude. Hope you come back with a call.
All right, thanks, Brendan.
Fair play. That's Brian McLaughlin there of the Masters. They've beaten Kerry at the weekend and are playing the final 3 weeks against Dublin. Now we're turning attention to the club championship and Oney McBride's on the line. Oney, how are you, sir?
Brendan, how are you?
I'm very well. Right. Wee bit of an echo coming in there, Oney. We're hearing you loud and clear, but nice and echoey. That's not Nurse Joe, is it? Just talk here again, Oney, a sec.
How's things going there? I was going to say to Brian McLaughlin that I would be eligible for the Masters next year.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Greg Hughes was asking me this morning why I aren't playing, why I'm not in the mix, eh? But yeah, injuries left me out of that, man. Only there's a big echo coming off your line there. Do you have any idea what that is? We can take you on the phone if we're stuck, but...
Maybe the phone might... If you give me a minute or two, maybe the phone might be better.
Go a second, Joe. Maybe get Oney on the phone there. Oney, it's coming through really, really echoey there. One second.
Yeah, we'll go on the phone then, Brendan, yeah.
We'll get you on the phone here, only 2 seconds. Hey, Joe, we'll put you across there. That's Oney's number there. Sorry, folks, just want to make sure the sound quality's good. When you have a man like Oney McGarvey on, we got to hear him loud and clear because we have plenty to get through from the club championship at the weekend as things is beginning to hot up after our third game there. And of course the draw was made for the fourth round, and fantastic coverage of course from Highland Radio and from the streaming right across the board. So as I say, a lot of people are saying maybe it's a bit slow to start the way the format of the competition is set up, and there has been a few games I think in there haven't really set the world on fire, particularly when it comes to championship. So I think what we've got now is we're getting near crunch time, and particularly, you know, getting into that quarter final, pre-quarter final. Few teams yet to get off the mark, but I'll run that through with Oney again. Oney, you here now, sir?
Yeah, loud and clear now, Brendan.
Good man yourself, Oney. Thanks so much. Oney, do you know where we'll start, sir? We'll start, you were down covering the game, a very impressive Niamh Connell victory, you know, for particularly, I suppose, it's hard sometimes to look at previous seasons, but Liam Terman, 6-0 coming down the stretch last year, you know, had Niamh Connell beaten, the eventual champions, but this certainly wasn't how this game panned out. You know, it was a big, big scoring performance, and not just that, I suppose the fact of what they only conceded in the game as well, hitting 3.23 and only conceding 1.9, very impressive.
It was a seriously impressive performance, Brendan. Like you say, you know, Terman, after last year and that, and having ran, you know, New Connell so close. Now, we all know going to Glenties is not easy, but they would have still been expected to put up a better show. But just the way the game panned out, you know, just New Connell, they dominated the middle of the field. Like the two Kierans, Kieran Gallagher and Kieran Thompson, just lorded midfield. And anything they didn't win in the air, New Connell won it on the ground then through Finbar Rorty, Oran Doherty, Eunan Doherty, who's back home from Australia, Max Campbell. And then when you have a forward line of Owen McGettigan, big Charlie McGuinness was in there, John O'Malley, Brendan McDyer, you know, the ball, as we all know, it was only going one way, and just the scores, they just kept getting the scores and just working the right pass and everything that New Connell do. And just, you know, with 15 to go then, just the game slipped away in Termon. But New Connell would be very happy, you know, probably it's a bit early yet for them. They probably don't want to be talked up too much yet, but, you know, going by last Saturday, they were impressive, especially when they probably have two or three more players still to come into that team, Brendan. So they would be happy with their night's work last Saturday anyway.
Yeah, when you mention all that, you'd have to say squad on squad, add in the experience, you know, it'll tick. You know, you nearly think whoever's going to beat Niamh Connell this stage should win it. That's what you got to pitch that, because as we know, they were going to start a wee bit slowly off and do that. One man just very interesting you mentioned there was Kieran Thompson. You know, he obviously, it didn't take him long to get rid of the rust. You know, only people were saying he's rusty coming back after that terrible injury he had, of course, you know, out for, you know, so many months there. But, you know, having him in there as well, you know, along with his aerial carrying capability. And if anything, only now, people talk about the new rules. Because Niamh Connell are so good on the ball, their defence will always play well. They've got big men. That freedom to play now with the new talent that they have coming through makes them a serious prospect to try and go out and beat.
they're a serious private. Kieran Thompson, he had a two-pointer after about 10 minutes from a free the last day. And the forward line that I mentioned there, I left out Shane Malone, who kicked 1-6 out of all the names that I said earlier. And Kevin McGettigan at number 6. Jack McKelvey didn't play the last day. They're just, as you say, the squad they have. And just, like, we all know the way the game has gone now. If you're running the ball in midfield, and like I say, the two Kierans just ruled the skies the last night. And as I say, anything that they didn't want in the air that went to ground, like, Oran Doherty really sets the tone for them. He really goes in after the breaks. His brother is the same, Finbar Rorty. We see that every time with Donegal. And they're just, their possession stats, I would say, was off the charts, you know. And like, when you have the ball now, Brendan, you are going to get scores with the forward line that I mentioned. And look, they've got 3.23. Like, in fairness to Emmett Maguire, the Tyrone goalkeeper, he saved a penalty. And from memory, he saved two, if not three, more good goal chances that New Connell had. So, as I say, they just, when you have possession now, and for the likes of them who have so many quality players, they racked up 3.23. But as I say, only for Emmett Maguire, it could have been a bit more.
Yeah, indeed. And the man you just mentioned there, that hit 1-6, we have a minute from him here, only just Shane Malone.
You know, there's a lot of things that go into that. It's not just the scores. You know, I thought we defended very well. Termini are a very good side, and, you know, watching their games, we've got a lot of good shooters, a lot of good two-point shooters. So to nullify that, and then on the flip side, go down and do our scoring, and we were pretty accurate today, so happy with that.
We said it on commentary, and the general consensus, even at half-time when we were downstairs for the tea, was everybody was very, very impressed with the pace that you brought to that game today. It was really, really good to see. It was very, very impressive, so it was. And it was a bit of a statement from you guys on that front.
Aye, look, you can put it like that, but probably comes down to competitiveness in the squad. I think everyone's, you know, no one's lax, because, you know, we've seen in the first two games, we're missing a lot of players, and boys still got a lot of jobs done. Like, so I think there's that pressure now to play well for the boys that are in the 15 for the first, you know, whatever, 40 minutes, and then the lads come in and finish off the job. So that's probably what it comes down to.
Yeah, listen, that's ominous for everybody else. Yeah. Denis Conlon in the squad.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Listen, we'll move on to another team that's had a great start, only Glenn Swilly, 3 from 3. No Murphy at the weekend, like he was in America. But listen, job was done. But not, you know, when I seen the scoreline first, I thought it was again a game where that Glenn Swilly would have controlled it. But it was inning button. I suppose you had a Killy Beggs team under pressure. You know, Park Bonner's down there, is a good man, as you know, only. And you know, they were point up with 5 to go, you know. So again, having watched Glenn Swilly, you know, and I said this about them, I've watched them, their fitness and their drive was very evident. They've done a tremendous amount of work and been ultra fit for this year, and it looked like it came to the fore at the end of that game.
It did, very much so, because like you said, Killy Beggs went ahead there. You know, Hugh McFadden was very instrumental for them in that. Ryan Cunningham was kicking scores for them, kicking 2-pointers and that. As you say, they were a point ahead with maybe 5-6 minutes to go. But as you say, Glenn Swilly at home in the championship, like, you're doing really, really well to take them out. And Glenn Swilly, as you say, Killy Beggs were under pressure, but you know, they still, you know, Murphy wasn't there, but Keelan Dunleavy's there. Dahi Gilday is back. Donal Gallagher is there. Mark Boner, Jack Gallagher, I seen came on in the subs. You know, Shane Tinney, they still have a good team there. And probably Killy Beggs would be a bit disappointed, because, like, they're playing without Owen Ban Gallagher as well, you know, who'd be a huge help for them in that. But like I say, Glenn Swilly are hard to beat at home, and they've had a great start. They're 3 from 3. They're sitting on 6 points. You know, probably all them teams now that are up at the top of the table, Brendan, there's 6 or 7 teams in contention now to get the top 4 slots, you know, and get that weekend off. They have a tough game against McCool's coming up, who probably need the points. So that'll be interesting. But I think the likes of Glenn Swilly, you know, St Eunan's, Dunloe, New Connell, Gidor, they'll all want to get into the top 4 to get that weekend off. Because if you don't get in there, it means you're going to be playing possibly three weekends in a row, which, as you know yourself, teams won't want that. They'll want that 1 weekend off.
And that, looking back to before the championship started, and that, I mean, you always thought there was other weeks in there. You could have started it a wee bit earlier, but listen, I appreciate, you never know how Donegal is going to go, etc. But I always think there should be there should be weeks in between big games like that there. You just mentioned those young lads with Glenswilly. Is it a thing, Oney? There's a lot of work done there at underage. Them lads, obviously, you know, are just coming in now to their early 20s. You know, a year can make a big difference. You know, you're filling out a bit more. You're getting a wee bit stronger. And, you know, you need that, I suppose, that support around Murphy in terms of, you know, if he's tied up or there's people putting extra attention on him, that Glenswilly have those other options. And as I said, they looked at their, in terms of their fitness and their spirit, is right up there.
Yeah, very much so. Like I would have seen Keelan Dunleavy and Jack Gallagher and Donald Gallagher and Dahi Gildea at close hand at times and that. And they're good players. They're coming in now, you know, probably maybe 23, 24 years of age, which is what you want. And you just get the feel as well, you know, when any of them young lads are interviewed, they just love playing with Murphy. And they just know that when he's in the team with them, that they have a serious chance. You know, you just get that feeling from listening to them that. And, like, the first two games he played, he scored 8 points the first day and 10 points the next day. So they're right to think that way, that they have a serious chance with him and the team. And they're rowing in behind it. And I'm sure they're buzzing going to training on Tuesday and Thursday nights. And, you know, it's championship time. They're winning games. And, you know, they have plenty to look forward to for the rest of the season.
Yeah, 100%. Only another team, you know, going really well is the Dunlow men. You know, from a couple of seasons ago, that final that they were with St Unions, you know, they're really knocking on the door. And, you know, the guts of that squad there, and obviously it's got better young lads coming in as well. And they look like they've been very composed in each game they've played, and they're 3 from 3.
They're 3 from 3, but even, Brendan, since they've gone up from intermediate, I think in 2020, maybe it's 2022 when they won it, they've been, like, very, very consistent every year. They got to the final in 2024. Last year, they got to the quarterfinals. This year, they're 3 from 3. And they have a lot of the same team still about, you know, and Ryan Connors has come home to join them for this championship. They've added Danny McCready to their panel. Christopher O'Donnell, Patrick O'Donnell, they're young lads who got game time in the league, but who impressed in the league and who are starting in the championship for them. And they have a good blend. They have good players, Brendan, to be honest. You know, they've Mark Curran, they've Aaron Ward, they've Carl McGee. You know, I can name off a few more, like, up front then. Oisin Boner is kicking scores for them again. Dara Gallagher is playing for them. Dylan Sweeney. They will be a handful for any team. They have Terman now in the last game, you know, and Terman probably need to win that because of the 20-point defeat that they got in Glenties has really put their score difference down. So that'll be a real humdinger of a game. Like I say, Dunlow, 3 from 3, looking to finish in the top four against a Terman team who probably know that if they don't beat Dunlow, they'll probably end up on the relegation playoff.
Yeah. And, you know, from a few years back, obviously, I was on the line against Dunlow in that final, and looking into that, they put a huge effort into S&C and getting themselves up to the physical stakes, which now, what, is 6 years in, and I'm sure they're all following the same programme. You can see that's massive. You want to match the big teams, you have to at least match them fitness and strength ways. And you mentioned Ryan Connors here. I mean, there's players coming back from America now. He's come all the way from Australia. So, listen, that's some commitment to the club there. You know what I mean? So, listen, fair play to him. Actually, we have a couple of words here from the Dunlow manager, Noel McBride. We caught up with him after the game.
Hey, we were fully expecting a reaction from Downing's this week after getting beat last week, but I felt we held them out fairly well in defence. We were fairly well set up, and I thought we had their two main men, McIlwee and McGrady, well marshalled, and we were able to break hard on transition, but our scoring threat was well off par today, so we left an absolute fortune of scores behind us in the first half. But overall, we would have been content at the way we would control the game. But still an awful lot of work to do on the offensive side of it.
Yeah, obviously, but I suppose staying composed during those particular periods was something you did, and getting you know, the scores before half-time supposed to give you that cushion going in with a 4-point lead. Young Damien McGowan started today for you, had a big championship game for him, for a young man, and supposed stepping up with those scores were crucial at before the half-time whistle.
Yeah, look, that's Damien's senior debut, actually, believe it it or not, he's about a long time. But unfortunately for him, he's up against Danny Rogers, which is a high quality keeper as well. But look, Damien showed his strength. He missed, I think, maybe the first two or three frees, and then he stepped up, nailed the 45, and then clipped a crucial two pointer before half time, which was a big score in the context of the game at that time. So look, it's a massive day for Damien. Even his variety in kickouts was exceptional there, so it's all needed.
Big call by yourself as well. Suppose you have Danny.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. We're hearing a lot of competition going on out there. Mooney, these sides are doing well, and everybody wants to be part of them and get in there. It's a big thing. That was our own Pádraig Kilfoughry, and of course Oisín Kelly before that, asking the questions. But is that's the thing, Mooney? You know yourself, you're coaching down in Ivory. You need that competition, the training, not just for the intensity on the night, but for people to be really playing out of their skin for the team. And that work rate, I suppose, and that ethic you see coming from players then that are wanting position, that's infectious then. So that's why the teams that are going well now, you can hear the push on from their management about competition.
Yeah, that's a big one now. Like, you need your 20, 21, 22 players now, and you need everybody going at it hard, as you say, on Tuesday and on Thursday night. I had to laugh when I was listening to Noel there. He wasn't happy with their offensive play, and they scored 22 points. So that's definitely a warning for the rest of the teams in the county as well. But no, like as you say, you need the day of the 14, 15 players and maybe a sub coming on or two or whatever. That day is gone. Shane Malone mentioned it there. You know, the way that New Connell are looking at it, you know, they start with a team and then, as he says, around about 40, 45 minutes, the lads come on then to finish the job. Not every team has that, Brendan, but, you know, as you say, it's what everybody is aiming for, as I say. And like as I say, you need your 5-6 men ready to go at any time for you to try and get you over the line, especially when it gets to the, you know, to the quarterfinal stages and all that. That's when the big panels come into play.
Definitely so. And as you mentioned already, I suppose Glenswilly don't know where the teams are leading the way. Just after that, there's a serious group tucked in behind them. They've Conall, Gidora, Kilcare, Four Masters, St Unions. Of course, Kilcare and Four Masters have a rearranged game to play, which could put them into that quarterfinal berth straight away. And Kilcare at the weekend had a good one. Tricky one. Glenfinn, well organised under Frank McGlynn, went up there 2-16 to 2-11. And a young fella, Jack Higgerty, doing some damage with 2-3. Michael Higgerty's son, former Donegal star, of course. But again, that was a game that started at a blistering pace for Kilcare. And after that, you'd have to say it was some fight back from Glenfinn after going 9-1 down. They never scored for 25 minutes. And then after that, I would say, you know, you had a very different game on your hands, Oni.
Yeah, I was actually listening to a bit of that game, and as you say, I think it was 9-0 after maybe 20, 21 minutes, and then Glenfinn got on the board. They got a goal then before half-time, and then they kind of got a goal straight after half-time, which really took them back into the game. But look, you know yourself, when Kilcare get that much of a lead on you, you know, you're doing well to pull them back. And like you say, Glenfinn came back to 5 points, but for Kilcare, you know, their first day out and that, they would have been just glad to get over the line and that. And you mentioned Jack Higgerty, you know, they have Michael Gallagher in there too this year. You know, Declan Gallagher's young fella, a good scoring forward. I've seen Mark McHugh came on the last day as well for them. So, you know, they'll be there or thereabouts. I'm really looking forward to this weekend's game between themselves and Four Masters and Townie, just to, you know, to see how that one goes. Whatever team wins that will go to 6 points, and like you said, they'll join Glenswilly and Dunloe on 6 points. And look, as I say, they'll be looking for a top four berth, them two teams this weekend. But it's a standalone game this weekend, so there should be a good crowd in Townie for that one.
That's right, the rearranged fixture, of course. Tell me, Kilcare then play Niamh Connell. It's a tough couple of weeks. I suppose they're the championship games you want, Townie.
They're the championship games you want, yeah. I suppose every other team that played in round three, you didn't know who you were playing. Kilcare and Four Masters, who they will have in the last game. And, you know, for the likes of it's two home games Kilcare have left, the Four Masters and the O'Connell. And look, nothing easy about them two fixtures for them. But look, they're at home. And as I say, I just felt this year, I seen them in the league down in Gweedore in one of the last games of the season. And I would have been impressed with them, Brendan, to be honest, that day. Ryan McShane was there that day as well. I think he came on near the end. But just looking at their team, and just the likes of Jack Higgerty and Michael Gallagher, you know, Matthew McLean didn't play yet for them, who would be a big player for them if they managed to get him back? Because I think, you know, with Ryan McHugh, Mark McHugh, Owen McHugh, Ryan McShane, they would have plenty about them. Yeah. But we'll know more probably after the next 2 weeks when they play, probably the perceived two of the bigger teams in the competition.
Yeah, and I think that Niamh Connell game, and I think for any of those teams, as I say, only in the back of your mind you think we're going to have to beat them. So if you play Niamh Connell at this stage of the competition, you're going to have to be able to match up to them or give them a cracking game to think you're going to win it. I think that's already would be in my mindset if I was any of those top, you know, teams that are trying to, top five, six teams. Only just looking at them, Dunlow obviously Terman at home desperate for points. Now they Dunlow, they're coming on form there as well. McCool's Gidor, like they are probably the spicier games in that this next round to come up.
Yeah, McCool's Glen Swally. You have to think that McCool's, you know, in fairness to them, they're sitting on 2 points. But when you look at the games they've played, Brendan, they were away to Dunlow. They lost that game, but then they drew with Unions at home, they drew with Guidor, and now they have Glen Swally to play. So, like, that's a tight draw that they've got in their four games.
Yeah.
They definitely need a point against Glen Swally. You know, they probably, you know, just depending on how other games go and that. But I think if they get through, Brendan, which I think they probably will, you know, to the last 12, they'll be a dangerous team, because no more than when you mentioned there about playing them, these bigger teams, and taking them on early on, they have done that. I know they lost it on low, but they drew with Unions and they went to Guidor yesterday and drew with Guidor. If they happen to get a result against Glen Swally, you know, they're going to land in the prelim quarterfinals and say, we have nothing to fear here, you know what I mean? And if they could get Oisín Gallan back, they didn't have Conor McGinty and Kevin McCormick in the first maybe game or two, but they're back now as well, so they'll fancy themselves. And the Termin Dunlow game is probably down to, as I say, Termin need to win to probably avoid the relegation spots, because, you know, there is a few games there. Downey's play Glenfinn, one of them is, you know, going to get into it. New Columba play Ardra. So, like I say, Termin are under pressure, and that should be a cracker on the Burn Road.
Yeah. You mentioned there St Union's as well. Obviously, St Union's, St Michael's. You know, that day Union's played him, I was very impressed with McCool's and minus Oisín Gallan. I know he came on the last day and kicked a couple of points against Gidor. So, hopefully, the McCool's man, he's back. But St Michael's at home, you know, it's been a strange start for St Union's games. They're expected to win. Maybe it hasn't got the energy going, but, you know, St Michael's down the bridge, you know, that's going to be an interesting encounter.
That's going to be interesting as well, because St Michael's, even though they've played well in the championship so far, by all accounts, they should have beat Guidor the first day. They beat Ardra then the second day. They were a point or two up yesterday against Four Masters with a couple of minutes to go, but they're still only on 2 points. And, you know, looking at the table with their score difference, if they did lose to Unions, you know, they would come under a bit of pressure. Just, it does depend on other results than that. But like I say, they would be happy enough with the way they've played so far. Like the draw hasn't been that kind to them either. But they're very hard to beat down at the bridge. It does, you know, for St Union's, they're sitting on 5 points. If they want to get to top four, they will have to win that game as well, Brendan. So I think it's round four as well set up for, if you go through a lot of the games and if you look at the different scenarios that can happen, I think round four is well set up to be a cracking weekend of football.
Yeah, and just the fact that we're talking about, you know, 6-7 teams in there, it's great, because for years, you know, we had that kind of split. That's certainly gone in terms of club championship, and fair play to the teams that have stepped up and closed the gap. Oni, you're a man that's doing his own stuff there on the line all the time, coaching away there. Just looking across the intermediate championship, St. Noel's are leading the way 3-3. Niamh Patrick tucked in after them. Niamh Patrick Issa Keen with 2 wins and a draw. And then we have a few teams after that. Buncrana, your own Niamh Warra, Cairn Donagh and Fannett all sitting on 2 victories. And again, only the intermediate, it never fails to excite and deliver. And again, it's kind of a case of anybody can beat anybody.
Very much so, and we would have seen that on Saturday night with the Bundoran and Malin game, Brendan. You know, Bundoran, now seemingly they had a wedding in the club the week before, but they went down to Buncrana last weekend and got beat, you know, by, I think it was 7-11 to 11 points. And then they had Malin at home on Saturday night, and at half time they were getting beat, not 15 to 2-2. And they managed to turn it round and beat Malin by 4-16 to 22 points.
Some second
a
half.
Huge victory for them. That was some second half by them. And to turn it round after the defeat the week before, Brendan, to be sitting in a dressing room at home, 7 points down, it was a real credit to them to turn it round. And that's the intermediate championship for you. Bundoran now are looking, Brendan, that they're away to Clonhilly in their last game, that if they won that game, they'll probably make the quarterfinals, depending on results here and there and that. But it's a great competition, obviously. Just the way I've seen it from being involved with my own club, Brendan, if you're not on it any day, or if you maybe take a team for granted, or if your mindset is not right, you'll end up getting turned over. And that's the beauty about it. And that we went down to Fannett yesterday, we lost the week before to Burt, and we just knew we had to win, Brendan, because we have St Noel's left in our last game, and just we didn't want to leave it. And luckily enough, we started well and we got enough points on the board. We knew Fannett would come back at us, but we managed to get through with, I think, 6 points to spare. So the likes of Mallon now, who are sitting on 3 points, Brendan, they play Cairn Dunna in their last game, who are only on 4 points. So that's going to be an interesting game in the last game. Muff take on Buncrana, which is another Inishowen derby. There's been a lot of Inishowen derbies up there, which, you're not going to win them all. Yourself, derby games are tight going in that. And like I say, the Cairn Mallon one, Muff Buncrana, they'll all be interesting games, because the way it's set up in the intermediate, Brendan, whoever finishes first plays the team that finishes in eighth place. Yes. And 2 second place, seventh, and all that or whatever. But to me, it's just a case of getting into the quarterfinals, Brendan, because it doesn't matter who finishes to me, first or second, or whoever's seventh or eighth. It's just the calibre of the teams are very much of the same. And you try and get into the quarterfinals first and just avoid the dreaded relegation playoffs. And that's your main aim for the intermediate. And another competition starts after that, Brendan, from quarterfinals, yeah. Stage on, you just take whoever you get and go at it then again.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned Cairn Dunna. They won their first two games by a point and then they lost the third game by a point. They're having some tight tussles there. Then he's showing, Ben, or Odie. Tell me, Junior Championship, only said begin to heat up a wee bit there. A couple of sides moving well. What are you making of it? Narass and Eve Alton, have you any kind of favourites in there? And Eve Colmkill won their first two games, but they lost at the weekend there. So again, a lot of sides able to take other teams.
Yeah, the likes of Pettigo, who have been making strides even in the league this year. In fairness to them, they got a scalp on Saturday night when they beat New Columkillie. New Breach had a big victory at the weekend, Brendan. They would be seen as one of the favourites for it. New Walton and others had victories at the weekend. And in fairness to our neighbours here in Narossa, they won at the weekend as well. That was their third game in a row that they won in the championship. And they have a few players back. I know that John McDyer is back from London. Oisin Caulfield is playing for them. Christian Boner, Oren Boner, Aidan McHugh. Adrian Hanlon still puts on the boots an odd time for them, Brendan. So plenty of players back, and they'll be seriously competitive in that junior championship. And just on the Rossa, Brendan, I don't know whether you hear, but Sean Boner, who would have been a stalwart for them, down through the years for county as well. He took ill on Saturday, and I would like to send the best wishes to Shane and all the Boner family there. That's that hopefully family. He's recovering well there, and we'll see him back on the sideline supporting the Rossa very soon in that.
Yeah, some family that. Only listen, well finished off, sir. Only thanks so much for that wrap up as ever, top man.
Thank you, Brendan. Talk to you soon.
Much appreciated. That's Ony McGarvey there wrapping up the championship from the weekend. Fair play to him. Ony works with Rita McGilty and, of course, is a coach with Niamh Wirra. After the break, we're coming back with the two men in the middle, Mark Dorian and Enda McFeely. Yes, welcome back to the DL Debate. I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Dorian and Enda McFeely, two of our national refs. Are you there, lads?
Hey, Brendan. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hello, Brendan. How are you?
Enda, thanks a million, lads, for joining us. I really, really appreciate it, lad. Always great to talk to the men in the middle. You have such a unique insight into your world of Gaelic games. I hope life is good with the two of you, lads. I just want to jump straight into this and get a few questions off to you. Mark, just from the get-go, the two new rules coming into this year. Listen, I could be wrong in this. The only two I seen was the encroachment from the throw-in could be a foul, and the half-time mouthing. Was there anything else I missed?
No, that was only two new ones that came in this year. So the encroachment from the throw-in, basically from beyond the 45s, and from the two men on the end lines, and then the management team then at half time, yes. If there was anything said to you that you could give a yellow card and restart the game then with a free to the opposition.
Yeah, yeah. I think people probably are pretty smart with that, and I haven't seen it really enforced in any games or needed to be enforced.
I think team management has generally settled well down as far as that's concerned, because they know that the punishment is severe. I think it has taken something like that to call what was happening to officials, maybe at halftime and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, people were saving up their anger and were allowed to invent it at halftime.
I can tell you stories, Brendan.
We have to wait till after 9 o'clock for them ones. Mark, just I want to ask the two of you, just basically, lad, how do you feel now? Because we basically had such a wave of new rules. Mark, we spoke last year about them coming in and bedding in. How do you feel about them all now in terms of how the game has moved on? Are you guys happy with the way things are? And of course, as Enda mentioned there, the big one is, you know, it's really cut back on the back chat.
Definitely happy. It's improved football. It makes football more enjoyable, you know, to watch. You know, the games nowadays aren't as stale. You know, the teams are moving more, and you know, it's attack after attack and counter attack. Like, and it's definitely more enjoyable to watch, and it's more enjoyable to referee as well, because you're involved in the middle of that, and you know, you're not walking over and back the pitch now. You're nearly sprinting more so than into a light jog, you know.
There's that much happening. And are you happy with anything? Is anything you would change at this point? And are you think that for the good of the game, and particularly, as I say, the respect of the refs, that there's an absolute huge change has happened there? I mean, it's brilliant to see.
Well, you see, for me, emphasis there on the rules regarding the referees and officials. I think management forces management to kind of concentrate on their own game. More than kind of get at the referees, as they say. I think the new rules that has come out has been absolutely brilliant. Nobody can deny that. I just think everybody to just take them all on board. The game's developing into something that we probably wouldn't have seen a few years ago. It's nearly overtaken the hurling, I dare say, as far as the spectacle's concerned. So maybe no more changes for a while now, and we should be good.
Yeah, settle it all down. Do you concur with that? Is any wee tweaks in there at all, Mark? Or people have had enough with rule changes at this point?
Yeah, I think we're happy enough with rule changes. I think let them bed in now for 2 or 3 years and see how they go, and maybe if they need to go and look at them then after that. But I think as referees, the wrath of changes that came in last year and you know the extra couple this year, I think it's enough for us now for another couple of years.
And just some of the big flash points that happened, I suppose, in the Championship, which are very difficult to ref or umpire. You know, the extra square ball incident, the ball crossed the line. Is that one of those ones, where it's so difficult to get that right in the human nature? You just got to go with your intuition. And after that, you know, it doesn't matter how many replays that people are showing of it. We got to just accept it. Would that be your feeling? Because I don't really like the idea of maybe Croke Park having the technology, and I know over time I think people will get a certain amount of technology will start to come in, but for now I think we just got to leave it at, you know, the best of the officials there and trust that sure there'll be always a bit of room for a bit of human error in there if you want. And particularly with the high ball, it's very hard to call that square ball at times.
It is very hard, and personally I'm not a fan of technology. Listen, there's team managers make errors. Players make errors. Referees are going to make errors. Now, the referees' errors are highlighted, obviously, because it might be a crucial stage of the game. But I definitely do not think that technology is the way to go. I think, like, referees have a split second to make a decision. All these people with the replays after saying, oh, well, they should have got that right. That's a bad miss, that or whatever. They have to realise that we are human as well. And I have yet to know a referee to go out and to take sides in any game or not do his best.
Yes, yes. And then you avoid technology, do you? You're not a man for the smartphones or nothing. You're in the old Nokia 6110 still, are you?
I'll tell you what, only the wife was with me tonight, Brendan. I wouldn't have been in this meeting.
Well, thanks very much. I'm missing me, really.
Sorry, it may take me up wrong there. I wouldn't have been able to get into the meeting. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, we all need that bit of help. Joe Dex is laughing here beside me. I'm being bothered without him, I'll tell you. Mark, listen, I got to ask you on this one, Mark. This is a wee bit of a bugbear on my own. The crowded tackle, the man around the ball. I just see that so many times of... The overcarry and seems to be so harsh on the guy who gets the ball. He's surrounded by people. He can't get out anywhere, but it seems very, very quick that, I don't know, as a ref, do you want to nearly clear it up? He's not going to get out anyway. I don't know, is that the feeling? It always seems to be one of the harshest things in football. If you define a tackle as tackling the ball and you have three or four strong men holding one boy in one spot,
It's probably one of the ones, you know, you could have one referee, he might give a free to him and another referee might blow him for overcarrying. I always look at it as, you know, of the four men around him, is there only one man tackling the ball? And that way then it's very hard to, you know, you're punishing then the defenders that are holding them up. You know, it's one of those ones, it's very hard to get it right. And most times then to blow him for overcarrying is cleaning it up, and it's, you know, it's taken away from that, you know, that crowded situation that might end up blowing into more. So normally what I would always say to a referee is blow for a quick foul that, you know, you'll always see something in it and blow for it. That way then it's tidying up the game and the game moves on. And that's the way I would look at it, anyway.
What do you think that end? I'm just thinking from the forward days where you're trying to play football. Next thing, crowd of boys, have you boxed in like a wee boy in the playground meeting the older dudes in the school? It doesn't seem that fair to me. That's the thing that I get, and I think I appreciate what Mark's saying there. You know, it's messy. It's going to get the game messy, but should that guy be given every, I suppose, opportunity to try and get the ball out? Because technically, you could say he's been fouled.
Well, first of all, you were too quick for anybody to get near you anyway, Brendan. And second of all, there's a very, very fine line. With most of the rules, as Mark will tell you himself, there's a fine line between the different colours of the cards, what's a foul and what's not a foul. Two incidents might look the same, but they're not the same as a referee, from a referee viewpoint. Now, the top teams, when a player gets the ball, no, they're always told move, you have to move it quick now or else you get bottled up. The top defenders are able to stand you up without putting the hands on. Most of them, without putting the hands on, they're able to kind of get around you. The hands are out, and that is, by the rule, it's not a foul. So unless you see something developing out of it, that's when I personally, I would give the free. But at the same time, you're not. I wouldn't be there to punish the defender for doing his job properly as well at the same time. You just have to watch if there's not more than one hand and under, whatever, at the same time.
And then, what about the screening? What are you thinking about that at times there? In terms of, is that one of those similar incidents in the game where people are physically putting their body across, but it's in a bit of a grey area?
It is a grey area, even at the top table. It's a wee bit of a grey area because some screenings will be turning on the black cards. Now, I think referees have to be more aware of it. Myself included, definitely have to be more aware of it. But you see it creeping into the game more and more and more. And I think from me and Mark's point of view, I'd love to ask to step it out, maybe, or stamp it out, sorry, maybe show the example. But at the same time, it's a split second, Brendan, to see where his feet moved, where he moved from, where he was looking at, to see if it is a screening, if you know what I mean. A lot of boys are switched on to looking away when they do it, to make it look like they didn't see what they were doing or whatever.
There's so much going on. And listen, for anybody who does, the screening is when the ball's been kicked out and someone gets in the way of a run to block somebody off to free up another player. What's your take on that, Mark? Is it something now we're always seeing, I suppose, coaches trying to get advantage to get a man free, but that man, if he stopped in his run, then that is a foul play. But again, as Enda was saying there, if it's done with the right body language, it looks half accidental, you know, but it's something, I suppose, is creeping in more and more.
It definitely is creeping in more and more. And as you say, it's kind of coming from the kick outs there, and it's also happening then a man might lay a ball off and then he's running into the player that's coming out and trying to make it look as if he's the one that's fouled, he's the injured party in it. But you've seen it, Martin McNally gave it, I think it was Derry and Armagh where the ball, the player popped the ball off, and then he knew he took a step in and took the defender out of it, and Martin actually gave a black card in that instance. And that's the kind of situations there where referees need to be switched on to it, and, you know, to try and, you know, police it better, you know.
And Mark, I know you guys have obviously got together and talked about steps, because you could see it happening a lot. You know, you, and I'm sure in your videos there's some crazy incidents. You know, the goal ones, obviously lining up for a goal is a bit different because there's this wind up, and I think there has to be given a wee bit of extra grace. But I'm sure there was some really bad incidents of people over traveling with the ball, and there definitely has been a big effort from you guys to clean that up.
There definitely has, again, that we would look at steps, and steps is probably one of the ones that it's extremely difficult. Players are traveling so fast, and if you started counting, you're counting your own steps then as you're running. David Goff says it's a perception more so than actually counting the steps that he's taken. And that's where it's difficult as a referee, that you're running along and you're trying to see, is he over-carrying, is he not? And it is, it's, you know, referees are, we had a meeting with the Donegal referees earlier on just before the championship, and it was one of the ones, the videos was included of it, to, you know, try and clean it up a bit more. And it's probably one of the only things that needs cleaned up in the game, is the you know, the steps.
And on the steps, is it a thing where, to me, I think it has to be gaining an advantage? Like, I've seen a few times people have been on the ball and it hasn't been in a pressured situation, and they've maybe just dallied and they overcarried. And they're like, what just happened there? To me, and I know that's wrong and you can pull them up on it, but for me, it's about the advantage. If somebody's trying to burn a man or skip around somebody to get a goal and he takes 7, 8, 9 steps, then that, you know, has to be pulled. But it's about the advantage, isn't it? If a man's getting a clear advantage by overstepping it, it's those are the ones that really need pulled.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've seen quite a few incidents this year at even national level where maybe, you know, as Mark says as well, it's very hard to judge because the players are going at such a colossal speed at times. I've seen a lot of goal opportunities and goal chances taken where the player probably has taken 8 or 9 steps. But because he's going that quick, it doesn't look like he's taking that. But for me, the telltale sign of the steps really is, for me, is if somebody's carried the ball 4 or 5 steps and then they try to go around somebody, you know, then you have no opportunity. They're the obvious ones. Yeah. But then you get the ones that's less obvious. You know, and you just have to be sports honest. It's game by game, and every game's different, every player's different. Now, you're a brave man to call. If a goal scored, you're a brave man to call it. Yeah. But if you have to call it, we're there to enforce rules. So if the rule's broken, we have to enforce it.
It has to be clean. And I suppose on that, Mark, if a guy's fending off a tackle, you know, that has to be taken in consideration, you know, in terms of that, those steps as well, which often happens. So, you know, and as Ian was saying, the rules are there to be implemented. But then, of course, there is that side where you got to understand what's just happening in the game.
Yeah, well, that's like every referee is going to read the game differently and has to understand the game that they're in. And that's where the perception comes into it. Has he over carried the ball? You know, did he just take a solo before he went into the tackle? And he's got away from the tackle then and he bounces it straight away. Well, you would be very harsh to blow a man up for that there. And it's just about perception and understanding the game and understanding the players and the game that you're in, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, lads, the two of you do understand it and do it so well. Listen, but lads, I want to talk to you as the summer goes on. I'd like to see what your views is in the club scene here and just how the championship is going in terms of people's attitudes and how you're seeing the game evolve, because it's always brilliant. I love talking to the two of you, lads. Thanks so much for joining us this evening.
No problem, Brendan. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brendan.
And the top man, that's Enda McFeely and Mark Doyen. Listen, lads, always brilliant to talk to the two men in the middle, two of our national refs, saying we're lucky to have them here in Donegal. You'll see them out refing the club championship game as it heats up now in Donegal. That's the end of the show this evening. Folks, stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sections coming up shortly. On next week's show, we're going to speak with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. Is coming, of course, on. Of course, we've got that rearranged game. Kilcare are in action against Four Masters. We've also got hurling on the show as well. We've got the hurling championship, and we're going to take a look at Leary's football, the LGFA championship. That's all coming up on next week's show. But for now, I'm going to hand over to, there he is, he's Paul McDevitt, the main man. Look at $1 million. He's going to come in and get the toes tapping. Trudy's loving there as well tonight. They're going to get the show going here. But for now, Joe Dex, thanks for producing the show as ever. To all my guests who contributed, of course, to the head of sport, Oisin Kelly, who keeps us right every week. I'll speak to us next week with another DL debate.